The third book of Nephi. The son of Nephi, who was the son of Helaman. Helaman was the son of Helaman, who was the son of Alma, who was the son of Alma, a descendant of Nephi, who was the son of Lehi, who came from Jerusalem in the first year of the rule of Zedekiah, king of Judah. Chapter 1. Now the 91st year ended, and it had been 600 years since Lehi left Jerusalem. That year Lachonius was chief judge and governor over the land. And Nephi, the son of Helaman, left Zarahemla, giving his eldest son, Nephi, possession of the brass plates and all other records, along with every item regarded as sacred since Lehi's departure from Jerusalem. Then he left the land. No one knows where he went. His son, Nephi, maintained the record of this people after him. At the start of the 92nd year, the events prophesied by the prophets were taking place more frequently, with greater signs and miracles happening among the people. But there were some who said the time was past for the fulfillment of what Samuel, the Lamanite, said would happen. They began to celebrate the defeat of their fellow Nephites, saying, "The time is past, and Samuel's words haven't been fulfilled. Therefore, your joy and anticipation of it happening have been foolish." They stirred up turmoil throughout the land, and the people who believed were very disheartened, fearing that perhaps the prophesied things might not happen. But they watched, still hoping for the day and night and day that would be like one day with no nighttime, so they would know their faith hadn't been misplaced. Now there was a day set by the unbelievers on which everyone who still believed in those traditions was to be executed, unless the sign given by Samuel the prophet happened. When Nephi, the son of Nephi, saw this wickedness of his people, he was distressed. So he went to pray, knelt on the ground, and prayed mightily to God on behalf of his people who were about to be killed because of their faith in their father's traditions. He prayed powerfully to the Lord all that day, and the Lord's voice spoke to him, saying, "Lift up your head and be of good cheer, because the time has arrived, and the sign will be given tonight. I'll come into the world tomorrow to show to the world that I'll fulfill everything I had my holy prophets declare. I'm coming to my own to fulfill everything I've revealed to mankind from the foundation of creation, and to obey the will of both the Father and of the Son. Of the Father because of me, and of the Son because of my flesh. The time has arrived, and the sign will be given tonight." The words told to Nephi were fulfilled, just as they had been spoken. There was no darkness at sunset, and the people were astonished because there was no darkness when the night came. Many who hadn't believed the prophet's words collapsed and appeared to be lifeless, since they realized their big plan to kill those who believed the prophet's words had been crushed. The promised sign had already arrived. They began to realize the Son of God would soon appear, and in short, everyone throughout the land, from the west to the east, both in the north and south, was so astonished that they fell to the ground. They knew the prophets had testified of these things for many years, and the promised sign had just occurred. They began to be afraid because of their iniquity and unbelief. There was no darkness during the entire night, but it was as light as if it was midday. Then the sun rose in the morning again, in regular order. They knew it was the day the Lord would be born, because the promised sign happened. And it followed in every detail exactly as the prophets had foretold. A new star appeared as well, as was foretold. Immediately, lies from Satan began to circulate to harden their hearts, so they wouldn't believe in the signs they saw and their awe-inspiring meaning. But despite these lies and deceptions, most of the people believed and were converted to the Lord. Nephi went out to teach the people, and so did many others, baptizing as a sign of repentance. And there were many sins forgiven. So the people again experienced peace in the land. There were no disputes, except for one involving a few who started to preach, claiming to prove from the scriptures that the law of Moses no longer applied. But they were wrong about this and didn't understand the scriptures. But they soon were converted and convinced of their error because the law wasn't yet fulfilled, and must be fulfilled completely. It was revealed to them that not even the smallest detail or part would end until it was all fulfilled. Therefore, in this same year, they realized their error and admitted their mistakes. So the 92nd year came to an end, bringing good news to the people because of the signs that happened vindicating the words of the prophecy of all the holy prophets. The 93rd year ended in peace as well, except there were still Gadianton robbers who lived in the mountains and defiled the land. Their fortifications and secret places were too well defended for the people to defeat them. Therefore, they got away with murder and slaughtered many people. In the 94th year, their numbers increased somewhat because there were many Nephite defectors who joined them, which very much disappointed the Nephites who remained. The Lamanites were also very disappointed by their children who grew into adulthood and were persuaded by the convincing lies of the Zoramites to also join the Gadianton robbers. So the Lamanites were afflicted also, and began to lose faith and commitment because of the growing wickedness of the rising generation. The 95th year ended. The people started to forget the signs and marvelous things they had been taught. They became increasingly less impressed by signs or miracles from heaven. Their hearts grew hard, their minds blinded, and they started to disbelieve everything they had heard and seen, foolishly imagining it was just something people, using the accuser's power, did to mislead and deceive everyone's hearts and minds. So Satan once again influenced the people's hearts, blinding their eyes and persuading them to believe Christ's doctrine was foolish and worthless. The people increasingly drifted into wickedness and abominations. They refused to believe there would be more signs or miracles. Satan succeeded in leading away the people's hearts, tempting them to do great evil in the land. This developed over the 96th year, as well as the 97th year, the 98th year, and the 99th year. It had been 100 years since the time King Mosiah led the Nephites, and 609 years had elapsed since Lehi left Jerusalem. It was 9 years since the sign foretold by the prophets marked the birth of Christ into the world. Now the Nephites began to measure time from when the sign was given, or from Christ's birth. Therefore, 9 years ended. This was when Nephi, who had responsibility for the records, the father of Nephi, didn't return to Zarahemla and couldn't be found anywhere in the whole land. The people remained wicked despite the preaching and prophesying constantly provided to them. The 10th year ended, and the 11th year also ended with continuing iniquity. In the 13th year, wars and conflicts started everywhere, because the Gadianton robbers were so numerous, killed so many people, ruined so many cities, and spread so much death and carnage throughout the land that it was necessary for all the people, both the Nephites and the Lamanites, to fight against them. So all the Lamanite converts to the Lord united with the Nephites. And for the mutual protection of themselves and their women and children, they took up arms against the Gadianton gang of robbers. They fought to maintain their rights, the privilege of their congregation to worship, and their freedom and liberty. Before this 13th year ended, the Nephites faced the threat of complete destruction because of the terrible, widespread war. Now the Lamanites who had joined with the Nephites were included as part of the Nephites. Their curse was removed, and their countenance became pure and radiant like the Nephites. Their young men and women became very beautiful, and were included as and called Nephites. And so ended the 13th year. At the start of the 14th year, the war between the robbers and the Nephites continued and worsened. Nevertheless, the Nephites gained some advantage over the robbers, driving them back out of their lands into the mountains and hiding places. And so ended the 14th year. And in the 15th year, they again attacked the Nephites. Because of the Nephites' wickedness and their many conflicts and defections, the Gadianton robbers had many advantages over them. And so ended the 15th year. The people found themselves facing many hardships, and the sword of destruction hung over them, and they were about to be struck down. And this was the result of their iniquity.